Joining me currently on the hotline, if I could go right there, is Mr. Avi Davis. And you've heard perhaps him on the program before, and if you haven't, you should have. You should be paying attention to who Avi Davis is. First of all, he lives in Israel a couple of, three, 4 months a year. He's there. And not only is he there, he's got his pulse on what is happening in Israel. He's the president of the American Freedom Alliance, the editor of the Intermedia Zone, whose work has appeared in hundreds of papers, periodicals throughout the world, including the LA Times, Chicago Tribune, Philadelphia Inquirer, The Australian, and regularly, Avi Davis is in the American Thinker. Again, 3 months of the year in Israel. Avi Davis on the hotline. Avi, welcome back into Colorado. Nice to have you here on the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's good to be back with you.
Story this week, the president said two absurd things. One, we've become once again restored as the most respected country on the globe, which I found comical. But now I find it follows up. It turns out that he told an advisor, and it's reported out that he said he was the closest thing to a Jew to ever be in the office. What is your gut reaction when you heard that the president said he, Barack Hussein Obama, is the closest thing to a Jew the Oval Office has ever seen?
Well, I'm used to saying, hearing the president say delusional things. So this is tops the list. It's a very unfortunate thing to say because even though he holds a Passover Seder in the Passover feast in the Oval Office or in the White House once a year, he has demonstrated throughout his presidency a animus to the Jewish state and to the leadership of that state, which is unequaled in American history. So it's a difficult thing to believe that this president believes that he's got such a close affinity with the Jewish people that he can state that he's the closest thing they've had to a Jew in the White House. Many Jewish voters may think that he's that, but clearly that's not the case.
When he makes statements like this, you're in Israel at least 3 months a year, and you know what's happening there. Does this type of comment hit the news there? Do the people of the streets of Israel realize what he said, and is there a reaction, or is this just something that gets fodder on American talk radio?
Well, you know, Barack Obama has a 6% favorability rating in Israel. The lowest of any president in the post-war period. The Israelis regard Barack Obama, and this really is across the political spectrum from left to right, they regard him as someone who has no sensitivity to Israeli security concerns, has no real feeling for the fact that the state of Israel was created as a refuge for the Jewish people after the Holocaust. He mouths those words, but nobody really believes he really internalizes them sincerely. So the Israelis have come to see Obama as an opponent rather than as a friend, and America-Israel relations have suffered as a result.
Do you think that Obama really I agree he's been an opponent to the things of Israel, and an opponent, obviously, real practically and literally, to Benjamin Netanyahu's reelection, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think the president really believes that he's do you think he sees himself as a friend of Israel because he acts like an enemy of Israel and an opponent to Israel? You think he's really that delusional that he sees himself, or is he just portraying himself as a friend of Israel? What is your gut, and what is the gut of the people in Israel? What do they think the guy? Because he portrays himself and says he's a great friend, and actions, though, speak louder to words, in my estimation.
Well, you know, he and almost every member of his administration feel that putting together anti-Israel stands, essentially anti-Israel stands, they're acting in Israel's interests, that they need to exercise this sort of the semblance of tough love to bring Israel into line and to make it realize that the peace is the only possibility, a two-state solution is the only possibility for Israel's future existence. facts on the ground in Israel have vitiated against that whole idea. And although everybody mouths these platitudes about two-state solution and ultimate peace between two nations respecting one another's sovereignty, that's clearly not the case. The Palestinians have refused to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. They refuse to recognize Israel's security interests. They continue to incite hatred in their schools and in their media against Israel. Their maps don't even include Israel, or includes its Palestine. So it's clear to most Israelis that the Palestinians are not a partner for peace, not now at least, not under the current leadership. And that's the reason the peace process hasn't moved forward, because we don't have a partner there. There's no partner. There's nobody to talk to. And unfortunately, the Obama administration has really cast Israel as the problem, as the obstacle to peace. Not just settlements in the West Bank, but the entire leadership of Israel is the obstacle to peace. And that's why, of course, he threw his weight behind Isaac Herzog in the last election, the Labour government, and basically funded a group to inspire Israeli voters to oust Netanyahu. But as far as the Israelis are concerned, Obama has really done everything he can to alienate the Israeli people and the state of Israel, and has created a situation, an international situation, where Israel is becoming more and more a pariah than it's ever been. That's been a result of U.S. policies, and the Israelis see and understand that.
Give me some insight. I haven't talked to you since the election, and of course Benjamin Netanyahu did end up winning, and he built that coalition, and Obama had a tough time even calling to congratulate him. He congratulated the Israeli people, but he didn't. Took him a few days to call Netanyahu, because I'm sure he was a little bit humiliated by his loss. He was so vested in making sure Netanyahu lost. What has happened on the ground in Israel? You're there 3+ months a year. What has happened on the ground among Israel on a couple of levels? First of all, you mentioned the perception of Barack Obama, the friendship with the United States. Has the country galvanized around Benjamin Netanyahu even further? What is the tone there in Israel since the election and since the re-election of Benjamin Netanyahu?
Well, Netanyahu had a hell of a time trying to form a government, even though he won a convincing victory and a plurality of votes for his Likud party, winning more seats than he did last time. He was unable, really, to pull together a commanding majority. He's only got a one-seat majority now. So it's very interesting that opinion swings back and forth there about him. He's a strong leader, and strong leaders arouse all kinds of reactions. Some people feel that he's too right-wing. Some people think he's not right-wing enough. Some people think he's somewhere out in outer space. He's so right-wing. So, things have changed, but things will change even more if the Obama administration does what it says and hinted a few days ago that it's going to do, and that is to call for a vote on the Palestinian statehood question based on the 1949 armistice lines, which all Israelis will reject absolutely and outright. That would sort of put the seal on the coffin of relations between this administration and Netanyahu's and the people of Israel as well. So I'm not looking forward to that, because that will really create a crisis in relations between the state of Israel and the United States.
Is at this point we're just kind of, is Israel just outweighed? Because Netanyahu's going to be in office pretty much after Obama's gone, it looks like. So are we just kind of, is it a waiting game to just run out the clock and hope that the next several months pass quickly so that a new administration can come to power in D.C.?
Not just for the Israeli people, but for the American people, too. I mean, there's clearly, you know, we do have another 18 months. But in that 18 months, you know, I believe that Barack Obama wants to leave a legacy. He wants to leave an imprint. He doesn't have to fight another election. He doesn't have to cultivate anybody in particular. It's very interesting to see that he went to a synagogue in Washington, a conservative Jewish synagogue. That's conservative, capital C. There, you know, expressed his ardent affection for Israel and the Jewish people. But it was almost like pandering. It really felt like that. If you read the speech, it was contrived. It wasn't given from the heart. Unfortunately, Barack Obama has bought the idea of Israel as an imperialist implant in the Middle East, which has caused turmoil and continues to cause turmoil. I mean, when you think about it, with the rise of ISIS, the collapse of the governments of Syria and Iraq, the overthrow of Mubarak's government in Egypt, and the chaos that has ensued because of all these things, to think that the Palestinian issue should be foremost in Barack Obama and John Kerry's minds is absolutely absurd. The Palestinians and the Israelis are at virtual peace. You know, people think that there's war going on between them. Actually, for the bulk of Palestinians, there is everyday life. Is becoming more and more prosperous because of their associations with, you know, they're part of the Israeli economy. And this is not reported. And the cooperation between everyday Palestinians and Israelis, none of this is reported. What is actually happening is contrary to the way it's projected in the media and the way it's talked about in political circles.
Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely the truth indeed. Avi Davis, it's a pleasure to have you. Your website is AmericanFreedomAlliance.org. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
All right. Very good. I appreciate your time. Thanks for the insight. We need to do it more regularly because I know you have your finger on the pulse of that which is happening in Israel, especially Israeli-American relationship. Avi Davis, you can follow him at Twitter, Avi Davis, AVI, Avi Davis 22. Or you can go to AmericanFreedomAlliance.org, AmericanFreedomAlliance.org.